Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Down into her brown eyes and said, say a prayer for me. She threw her arms around him, whispered, God will keep us free. They could hear the riders coming. He said, this is my last fight. If they take me back to Texas, they won't take me back alive. There were seven Spanish angels at the altar of the sun. They were praying for the lovers in the valley of the gun. When the battle stopped and the smoke cleared, there was thunder from the throne. Seven Spanish angels took another angel home.
She reached down and picked the gun up that lay smoking in his hand. She said, Father, please forgive me. I can't make it without my man. She knew the gun was empty, and she knew she couldn't win. But her final prayer was answered when the rifles fired again.
There was seven. Wow. I could listen to this all the way through. It's just that good a song.
Oh, yeah.
Ray Charles and Willie Nelson.
That was a pair, wasn't
it? Oh, man.
That really was.
Ryan's sitting there, what are y'all talking about?
No, that's a great video, actually.
He was singing along.
Yeah, I love that song. That's a great video of Willie sitting at the piano with Ray. It was cool.
Oh,
You know, before we had the Beatles, we had Ray.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what you would see on Ed Sullivan on those nights, and it was quite a show. I still remember. Baby, what I say, baby. Yeah. Oh, man, it was like, wow. Had the Rayettes dancing in the background. Remember that? Oh.
Then we had Little Richard.
Well, wait a minute. I was into Rayettes, and then you came up with Little Richard. He was pretty cool, but I was thinking about the Rayettes.
But anyway, but, you know, the music that you, me, Larry, and then, you know, now, Larry, we even got one that'll beat you. Who's the oldest in here? How old are you? You're 70.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
You're the oldest. Gentle.
Yes.
Wait, okay.
Now I'm older than you. I'm older than you.
You're only 6 months. Proud to be here, by golly.
I know. But you're just a few months older than me.
That's right. March.
Yeah. I was in June.
That's right.
And then we got youngster over there.
In a little less than 3 weeks, I will be 40.
I got underwear that age.
I know. I do too.
I've got boots older than that. And I've got several hats that are older than that.
Chico,
too.
We need to talk on
that. I still wear.
Yeah. I don't throw them away.
That I still wear.
Boots and hats are one thing, but we'll talk later. I got a lesson for you.
Navy guy. I'm a Navy guy.
Just bleach it, right? And just bleach it.
I know I got rifles older than that.
Yeah.
I know I got those. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one thing. I got a pistol now. I will have one. It's coming. It's in the mail.
On the way.
His first pistol.
Is it a pistol or a handgun?
I don't know.
It's a handgun.
Here we go. What is it? A handgun.
It's a handgun.
Handgun. Because it's a contender.
Well, I think the only time I get tripped up is I don't fault anybody for it, but I don't like calling revolvers pistols.
I agree with you.
Yeah. Auto pistol.
They're revolvers.
But they're all handguns.
Yeah. And when Colt made that, he says, and this is to keep all men created equal.
That's right.
And it did, pretty much.
And then he made the walker and made all horses created equal too.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. So, but you know, that's what, and by the way, this segment here is open, and then we're going to open up the next segment. Me and Eric was talking, well, what are you going to do here, Ken? Well, we're going to have Ryan in here and Chico, and then Larry's going to sit in a little while. Well, why don't we just have, well, open, and we'll have, we got to call, Jerry down at Deep Sea Headquarters, and we got to have Scott Sanderson on, CCA Austin. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
And then the next three segments we'll have open. So we're going to have three open segments here, and we're going to have three open segments next hour. So if we can beat last, you know, Saturday show, I don't know if we can beat Saturday show.
I don't know if we can
beat
Saturday show with Jerry not being here. That truly was fun. You're right. The handgun hunting thing.
Yeah.
That's something I've been doing for a long time, but I'm glad to see that we're finally getting another convert into the fold, as it were.
Well, when I was coming up, my dad is a great shot, but he was never a big hunter. And so I had somebody in our church take me under his wing, and I bought, I'll never forget, 1995 Guns and Ammo Annual had two repro articles from Elmer Keith. One was about dangerous game rifles, and the other was about his long handgun shot on mule deer. And so what I did, I started buying these magazines, and I would write away for catalogs. Please send me your catalog. Please send me a catalog. And I remember getting the Thompson Center catalog, and they had a pullout in the middle of it that lists all the calibers that TC was making at that time. And at the very bottom was a 300 Whisper.
Yes.
And, yeah, J.D. Jones. Yes. And I was like, what is this?
It's a 300 Whisper.
So that took me down like SSK. I mean, so I've been a proponent and lover of it for a long time. And about a few years ago, I've been a general gunsmith for a long time. And a few years ago, I was like, what am I doing? This is what I love. I'm going to focus on this. So that's, you know, for a few years now, that's, I've been proselytizing, and that's all I want to do.
You mentioned JD. He and Larry Kelly did a lot of stuff together way back when, with Magnaport kind of thing. But I've known JD for a long, long time. And for the longest time, early on, when we just had the Contender before the Encore came along, which accepted the higher pressure cartridges, I shot a 309 JDJ, a 6.5 JDJ, and then the 375 JDJ a lot back then.
Based on the 444 or the 225.
Exactly. Yeah. And that 309 was essentially a 308 when you got right down to it. But I shot a lot of critters and lots of rounds. Of course, back then you had a fire farm your brass because you couldn't find brass for it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, actually, I've been talking with Ken Kelly quite a few times.
Oh, yes, after, Ken.
Yeah, in reforming the Handgun Hunters International.
Right.
Just getting, he's sent me some awesome pictures of his dad. And, you know, just telling me stories about his dad and the way he hunted, and how Ken told me, he said, people think that I've gone on all these great hunts, but that's not how it is. I was running the shop while dad was out hunting.
That's exactly what was going on.
Yeah, that's right. Larry was always on the road.
So, Ryan, you've got an interesting story of your, tell me about that path that you got to be and to school yourself up as a smith. And how do people find this way?
So, I've always been kind of interested in guns because they meld art and science. You know, like there's a lot of engineering in them, but there's also a lot of room to be a craftsman. I was never really interested in the traditional route of college and whatnot because they didn't teach what I wanted to know, and everything I wanted to know that they taught, I could read from a book. But I just kind of got interested because, like I said, a guy took me under his wing. I've always, always been fascinated with getting my own food. So when I was, when I was 7-8 years old, I would take not a rod and a reel, Ken. I would take a spool of fishing line with two pieces of white bread and a hook and go down to the dock and catch perch for my, for my dad to fry, you know? And so
that's when you knew you would never starve.
That's exactly it was
a,
right.
No, it's absolutely a big turning point for outdoorsmen, I think.
Uh-huh. Yes, it is.
And so then I discovered, you know, being able to get meat by hunting.
Yeah.
And that was it for me, man. It was like, and again, I'm.
But at some point you said, I would like to work on guns. I would like to be a smith.
And I think
so
I was probably.
Did that just.
Don't tell that story.
Is that formal?
I won't tell that story.
Hey, don't. We're going to talk that story on the other side. All right. We got a break here and let Station make a little money. Then we're going to tell you how he became a gunsmith and you'll know the gunsmiths that he worked with and the people, and Larry will know exactly who he's talking about too, because they're at 30th and North Lamar. I gotta get out of here. See y'all on the other side, family. Thank you, Callahan. Y'all be good.
I'm gonna spend the night getting down. There's that woman that I had wrapped around my finger just come unwound.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300 The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylove.
Hey, man. What's going on? Hi. What's the good word there?
Down in Louisiana where the black trees grow lives a voodoo lady named Marie Laveau. She got a black cat tooth and a mojo bone. Anyone who wouldn't leave her alone, she go. Another man done gone.
Well, family, we would have been talking to Sean, you Sean, normally, but we got... You know, we had Larry and Gary and Ryan in here yesterday, and they just decided, Gary, well, you live in Brenham, right?
That's right, right next to Bluebell.
Yeah, you walk to Bluebell. That's how you exercise. You walk to the Blueberry.
That is my exercise.
You get
thank
there
goodness.
And get your free ice cream.
No, it's a dollar a scoop, but I'll tell you what, that scoop is about the size of a huge dessert bowl. So I advise anybody that travels close to Brenham, come by the Bluebell Creamery there on Bluebell Road.
Good. I bet that would be. But that's not a very big good. You're not losing weight because you get there and you
I didn't say it was about losing weight.
Oh,
I said
okay.
It was about eating ice cream.
Okay. Okay. Well, yeah, I agree with you there. Normally we'd holler at Sean, but, you know, since Gary or Larry, Gary, he had to take off. He had to go back to Menard, but we got Larry back in here, and we got Ryan back in here, and in a little bit, me and Ryan are going, well, Gary's gone. Larry may get in here, too.
Larry, Gary, Jerry, Daryl, we got them all here today.
And both Brother Dow, you're right.
But anyway, me and Ryan are going to talk about doing some podcasting, and it's going to be the Great Out, the Untamed Heritage, Texas. Untamed Heritage, Texas. So, yeah, you'll be hearing us talk more about that. And me and Larry used to do Untamed Heritage. So
absolutely. And then it's become DSC's Campfires.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and there you just telling stories with your good friends that you've known for years. And
it really is. You know, what you and I were doing when we started all this was just about like kind of like sitting around a campfire telling
pretty
stories.
Much.
And
exactly
that just kind of evolved into the campfire, the DSC Campfires sort of thing. And it is. I mean, we try to provide some information that's useful, but you know, a lot of it's told through stories. And also we try to inform people kind of what's going on across the country. But a lot of it is just about like sitting around with old friends around a campfire and telling stories and telling tales.
Yeah. A phone call with a friend.
Yep. Call it infotainment.
Yeah.
Infotainment. Then that's exactly what it should be.
What it is. It's infotainment. You know, it's how I learned about the outdoors when I was a kid. Sitting there listening to Daddy and all of his brothers telling stories.
You bring up an interesting point. I'm going to interrupt you real quick because Gary and I have talked, because Gary Robertson has just left, but Gary and I have often talked about, who'd you hunt with when you were a youngster? Did you hunt with
Daddy? And yes. My uncles and yes. My grandpa.
And you hunted by doing so, you hunted with people who knew what they were were doing.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd occasionally hunt with my cousins, or I would, but when I really wanted to learn something, it was hunting with my dad, my uncles, my granddad, you mm-hmm. know, people who were considerably yeah. older than I mm-hmm. was. And that's how you do learn. I mean, you learn from your own mistakes, but maybe sometimes by listening to some of these guys,
yep.
you can circumvent some of those mistakes or not have them be quite as severe as they might have otherwise been.
I got one. We were hunting one time with a buddy, and we're hunting. It was deer season, and it was in season too. By the way,
oh my goodness,
you were legal.
Nice to bring that up.
We were hunting, and a buddy of mine had jumped out of the pickup. He was on the passenger side, and there was a little doe down, kind of a draw. So he jumps out and he grabs his rifle and he leans over his side of the truck. Boom! And I looked at one of my buddies. Damn, this truck shook. Why it was a reverb off that gun. He was shooting a 7 mag. Boom! Yeah. Deer still standing up. What the hell? Yep. Yeah, no. It went,
through
the side of the truck. He's shooting.
Oh, yeah.
Causes a scope.
The scope's a little bit higher than what that muzzle was, right?
Yeah, and it just kind of peels it out. Yeah. It's the prettiest little peel.
I watched a state biologist do something similar years ago. We were collecting deer down Laredo for some research we were done. They leaned across his gearbox, and he forgot about the spare tire that he had sticking out. Yeah. Well, the scope cleared the spare tire, but the muzzle of that rifle didn't. I mean, and it blew rubber all over. You talk about loud now.
Yeah,
we called that the parallax problem.
That was yeah, right. In a lot of ways, that was exactly a parallax problem.
Now, you know, I've already told y'all yesterday that I've got a Thompson Contender. What have I got? Pistol? Handgun.
Yes.
Handgun. With a 2-power burst scope. Is that going to have the red lens on it?
I don't remember.
Oh, no.
Probably not.
Standard red dot.
I don't think so.
Okay.
You mean like a red dot?
I don't know. No. It's going to have cross. No. I hope it just has the fine crosshair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't. I like a Weaver. It's
got but you got to remember, you're going to use a long eye relief scope.
Right.
Because it's not the traditional scope like you put on your rifle. It's got to have a long eye relief. So when you extend your arm forward, you can still see the full view of it. So
there you are.
That crosshair will look a little bit differently to
Ryan,
you.
That is a rifle scope, isn't it?
No, they make rifle scopes, but this is a long eye relief scope, which brings me to something So you scope all your specialty pistols with handgun scopes?
What I'm using right now more than anything else is the SRO and RMR red dot sights from Trijicon. Mm-hmm. And they're really quick, and I mean, it's easy. But for years, I shot lots of scopes. I mean, I shot mm-hmm. traditional long eye relay scopes and anywhere from the fixed power to 2.5 to 7 mm-hmm. and all those. But I mean, we shot a lot of with the Thompson Center, particularly to begin with, we were using Contenders, and those are a lower pressure cartridge.
Right.
So 223, you know, and 44 mag,
right.
4570, and that was about the extent of it. And then we went to the Encore, such as what J.D. Jones was building,
mm-hmm.
barrels far for the Contender.
Right.
And we're now I shot lots of animals with the .30-06 and the mm-hmm. .308, yeah. but that Encore is designed for a higher pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, a lot of times I did use scopes on those almost entirely because
right.
you could stretch that distance,
yeah.
not only in terms of accuracy, mm-hmm. but as far as downrange energy, where he had right. sufficient energy to take an animal out to 300-400 yards,
absolutely.
Really, if you wanted to.
Yeah, a la Mark Hampton.
Yeah.
Well, I've gotten into scoping most of my specialty pistols with traditional rifle scopes.
And really?
Being able to, you can't obviously get as close as you can with a rifle. It takes a little, but one of the cool things is that shooting long distance, you can tell if you have parallax by if the black circle is
yes.
centered.
Yes, exactly.
Right. And, just the shooting positions I do, I've had right now I have just like a very X3 3-9 loophole on my 7.
Really? Mm-hmm. I'll be darned.
Yeah. And it works great for me just cause, I guess.
But it's what you're used to.
Yeah.
You know, it's what,
but I do yeah. like if I'm putting a scope on a revolver, it's gotta be a long eye
yeah.
scope.
Yeah. 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 There's a lot of difference between the revolvers and the single shots, or you were mentioning a Remington XP100 earlier.
Absolutely.
So do you find going with a crosshair reticle, I have difficulty with red dots past 100-yard kind of setups.
Well, it depends on what your how big the red dot is.
I can't get that dot small enough.
It depends on.
It's a cheaper setup.
Well, that's probably
well, it depends on the size of that dot, the minutes of angle at whatever distance. I've got some that are like in 1.5 minute of angle, so at 100 yards it's covering an inch and a half, and I've got a couple of them that are like 5 minutes you know, and at 100 yards, so to me that's a nearer closer shooting scope, or I'm going to shoot a bigger target.
Right, well, he was talking about the yips, but something like that to me to go in, you know, like the red dot is good close up, but when I try to do something long it doesn't work for me, and now it's like it gets in your head and it's you can't, and then you can't
well,
use
to me like the revolvers that I'm shooting now, I'm shooting this lot of Taurus stuff, and I've got them in a 44 mag 454 Casull and a 460 car. Some of that upper end's a little bit interchangeable, but for the most part there I'm going to limit myself to 125 yards, so those red dot sights are they work really well out to those distances, and a little bit farther once you get used to them, but particularly from that 100 yards on in, they work really well.
You're shooting a lot of Taurus now.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I shot some stuff. I used to be the handgun editor for Handgunning years ago, which was a sister publication of Shooting Times, was a hunting editor there, and so back when, almost all the Taurus guns were made in South America. Well, now most of them, the hunting guns, and they've got one called the Raging Hunter that's absolutely, I've shot it a little bit here not too long ago, and we've got three of them now. They're all pretty much made in Covington, Georgia, so they're being made here, and those folks they're doing a great job. That was always a good hunting handgun, but what they've done now to the guns they have, phenomenal.
Yeah, the revolvers are tight. I think they're a lot tighter than some of the auto loaders were. I mean, my experience.
To me, I know there's some guys that hunt with the semi-autos and all that kind of stuff, and there's a guy out of Kerrville that that has shot all kinds of stuff, including in Cape Buffalo. But to me, the handgun hunting comes down to revolvers and single shots.
Okay, family, we're gonna break here for just a second and let Jerry come on. We're gonna talk about what's happening in Deep Sea Headquarters. Then we're gonna come back and we're gonna keep talking handgun hunting and why we want to get handgun hunting started. Why it's already started, but why we want to make it the love of like archery season, archery hunting. This is something I kind of looking forward to. Hey, family, we got to get out of here. We're going to talk Jerry next. See y'all in a little bit. Thank you, Callahan.
Don't play your hand, you big talk, and then make a big fool of yourself. Yeah, go to Jackson. Go comb your hair.
Honey, I'm gonna snowball Jackson.
See if I care. When I
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300 The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylov.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hey, what's the good word there?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yesterday, Jerry told us to come in. Don't go on the ferries. He said, come in on the backside and come from Corpus. So we tried that, and Jerry, we got to Port A a whole lot quicker.
I'm telling you, I'm not, I am a local. I know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I got one question for you.
What?
Why are y'all screaming at me this morning?
Oh, is it loud? They fixed and, some stuff.
Y'all got the volume turned all the way up.
Well, does it sound
no,
good?
No, we fixed
it. I'm not sure where I went last night, but I got a Southern Cross tattooed on the back of my arm.
Eric fixed everything, and it really is working, man. It's,
holy cow.
Yeah, we can hear it in stereo now.
Eric, that Saturday night in Port Aransas, you know we're the only small town in Texas where we lock our doors at night. You never know who's going to walk through.
No, no. Well, you know, what happens in Port A stays in Port A.
Yeah, because nobody can remember what it was.
Well, there's a major population change about 9 in the morning every day, right?
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I come to work, I see two cars. Mm-hmm. Usually they're both pickup trucks, and they're both policemen.
Yeah.
Because I come right by the police station, and about by 8:30, 9 o'clock, oh, my gosh, it's like they come out of the ground. Yeah. Oh, what it is they come out of them hotels.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not slowing down at all.
I had another guy come in yesterday evening. He's supposed to be on my boat this morning. I expect him to. I told him, you've got a booking. You got to show up or, you know, you can't get a refund. It's like 12 hours before the boat goes out. And he said, I can't find a hotel room. I said, are you serious? Mm-hmm. You came down here without a hotel room. I don't know. I said, you may have to go to Mathis or somewhere to get a hotel room as far as I know.
Or,
it is booked. One of my wife's friend wants us to move so she can rent our house. I said, well, how much can we make? What she told me, I told my wife, I said, start looking for a place for us to move to.
What? Now, did the guy that was wanting to rent y'all's house yesterday for $750 and you do the cooking, did he take you up on that?
His wife was out.
She said, okay.
She said, we can go to Corpus and find a place. And you know what?
You can't.
They went to Corpus. Yeah. They did not find a place in Corpus.
You go to Sinton
anywhere
or
in Corpus.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
Get an RV. Put it in your driveway.
It's crazy. You know what? I'm thinking that's going to change because I'm hearing, you know, I'm on the board of those stock shows and stuff, and I'm affiliated with a couple of school districts. And from what I'm hearing, they're going to tell those kids that they need to come back to school.
Oh yeah, you're probably right.
They're going to want They're going to want them in the classroom, and so it may get kind of quiet here in about a month.
State's saying that they're not going to fund learning, you know, online learning.
The Zoom thing and everything.
Yeah, they're not going to fund that if they have to be in school.
That's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what else is happening. We're getting off subject, and Eric, I'm going to talk about fishing. But these kids, and it's mostly the boys, you got 20% of your kids that are learning online, and they're making straight A's. And then you got 70% of them that are failing.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that are not actually coming to school. A school that I where I used to work in the ag department.
Mm-hmm.
They got 3,500 kids. The most kids they had in classes one day this whole school year was a little over 300.
Okay.
So that's 10% or less.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think they're going to make these kids go back to school and most of the universities and everything, so we could get a little quiet down here. It wouldn't hurt us to get a little quiet for a little while.
Yeah, like till next summer.
But it's been really good for more than a year now, and we're glad of it. We appreciate it.
Okay, did you find out for me what size shrimp the Peggy Ann, what Bo's getting? No.
I didn't.
I know you didn't.
I didn't. I'm going to have to text you later on.
Okay.
I'm going this morning.
Okay.
Sunday morning, I'm going.
Okay.
I'll go wait in line with everybody else. I'll be there. I'll be standing over there at 9 o'clock.
And then you text me, and then I'll tell you how many pounds I want, and he can keep them back for me. Now, I just want six days.
Oh, no, you want to. You want the fresh ones. You got to let us know the day before you're coming.
I'll run down if I need to.
Okay.
We'll make a run.
We want the ones right out of the net that are
still
flipping.
That day. Yeah. Oh,
that day.
Yeah, I'll make a run.
I'll make a run.
Okay. That's what I want.
Yeah, we'll do it. Sounds good. I got a little vacuum sealed snapper on the half shell for you, too.
Ooh.
I know.
Now we will.
Yeah, we'll make it. Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. You know how to get us there. It's just like we're like a bunch of dogs. Yeah. You know, if you're going to feed us, damn right we'll be there.
And everybody hates that kingfish, too, so I smoked some kingfish this week.
It's hard to keep it lit.
Yep.
It is gone. I bring it over here, and they say, oh, no, I don't want a kingfish. And then next thing I know, I go to get some.
It's all gone.
It's all gone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah,
I made some smoked kingfish dip. Just a little sour cream, maybe a tiny bit of mayonnaise to give it a little extra, little bit of lime juice, little Tabasco.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Yeah. And you got to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
You make it, and you put it in the fridge,
mm-hmm.
and you don't eat it till the next day so that all that smoke gets in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty hard for me.
Well, yeah, it's like ceviche for me.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's pretty hard to wait. And but it was some kind of good.
I bet that was.
And again, Mama ate it all.
Oh, no. So
you
had to make more.
But I went to get it some more, and the bowl was in the sink. Yeah, all that kingfish everybody hates.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And fried kingfish.
And we are catching a bunch of them. I'll be honest with you. I can't wait till the snapper season's over with because I'm going to go on some more 8-hour trips and get some kingfish. And I love it. Fresh off the boat, fried up. Slice it real thin, fried up. It only takes about 2 minutes to get it done. You know, oily fish, you don't want to overcook it.
Nope.
Oh, my gosh.
Nope.
My mouth's watering thinking about it.
Well, mine is because it's this early in the morning and we're talking food.
I wake up thinking about food.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I swear, especially on a morning like this, a Sunday morning in Fort Aransas.
Oh, yeah. Well, have you taken that kingfish? What do you do? Cut it about 3/8 of an inch thick and then roll it in like a Zatarain's meal with a little more. I put more ground mustard in it and a little more lemon pepper and a little more garlic powder in there. Roll it in that and then fry it. Oh, man.
I like to get
good.
The Zatarain's. I think it's called Southern Crispy or maybe might be called the Wonderful. It's not seasoned and it's corn flour.
Okay.
And then I add my whole ground, stone ground cornmeal to it to give it that little extra crispiness.
Mm-hmm.
And on rare occasion, if I get fancy, I may get a little what do you call it, panko breadcrumb.
I like cracker meal. I like cracker meal better than I do.
Cracker meal, I use that on my shrimp a lot.
Oh yes,
that cracker meal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, season it up however you like it. My wife wants the lemon pepper every time. I'm not big on that lemon pepper, but garlic powder, garlic salt. Paprika, maybe even a little dash of cayenne in there,
mm-hmm.
and or that dry mustard gives it a bite too.
Yeah,
it'll give it a little bite, and like you're talking about, little thin strips.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, throw it in there and get it crisp, hot. Get it crisp. Don't let it brown. You know, don't let it get too brown. Get it out of there, and you have a whole house full of people with burnt tongue.
Yep. Yep.
They can't wait. The snapper are biting. It's almost over with. Y'all come see us. Call ahead of time for a room. Call ahead of time to make a reservation because we're kind of full. Starting kingfish season on August 30th. We're at Captain Kelly's Deep Sea Headquarters here in Port Aransas. I'm Jerry. Call me at 361-749-5597. Look for the pirate ship.
We'll talk to you next Saturday, brother.
If not sooner.
I look forward to it.
Oh, we'll talk to you sooner. I'll holler. Be good.
Okay. I'll text you about that.
Okay.
The shrimp.
That'll work.
All right.
Hey, family, we got to get out of here. We got to thank Callahan's General Store. Thank y'all. See you on the other side.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300 The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylove.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hi, what's the good word there?
Nails in my coffin, sir. All right. My sweetheart has gone and I'm so lonely. She said that she and I would do. So I started out drinking for pastime, driving nails in my coffin over you. I'm just driving nails in my coffin every time I drink a bottle of booze. Driving nails in my coffin. Thought it driving those nails over you. Oh, yes, Leon.
Ernest Tubbs. Larry knew exactly what it was.
I did. As soon as that first couple of licks on the guitar, it was E.T., by God.
Right on it, yeah.
Well,
walking the floor over you.
Yeah,
or Waltz Across Texas.
Waltz Across Texas. Classic. I can't do it.
Across Texas. Yeah.
You got to put some marbles in your mouth.
Well, you got to. There you go. You got to put some redneck in.
Oh, there you go.
That's what you got to have. A steel guitar.
Yeah.
When we dance together,
oh, man.
My world's in disguise.
Doesn't that take you back? That's just come.
It's not fair to make us listen to this without a cold beer.
It's true.
Larry.
Yeah.
Horace Gord say, you can polish a belt buckle on that.
Yeah, he would. Yes, he would.
How is Horace? How's he doing?
I haven't talked to him in
a while.
I think
he's
doing I think all things considered, from what I'm hearing, he's doing well.
I hadn't talked
to him. Well, I'm glad to hear that nobody said he's still around.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he's still around.
That's Al good. Brothers was over at our Texas Wildlife Association convention, what now, a week, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize Al is 84. He's doing well. And he and Horace were classmates at Texas A&M.
That case, then, Callahan's. Damn, it's hell to get old. Not Murray's brother that used to run Callahan's. If I had Mike Young in here, he'd tell me who it was. But
yeah, he used to come down. I used to fly ranches for that. They hunted down there in South Texas. Mm-hmm. I got to know the Callahan family there years ago.
I'm sitting here. I can't think of.
I can't remember either.
It's Murray, Jimmy, Pat. Pat was the oldest one. And the one I'm thinking about, the second one. And as people listening, it's a holler. Hey, Kiss, him. Yeah, okay, I know. Yeah.
Horace is the only guy I know that can call Ken. Kenny?
I've known Horace a long time.
He remembers you as a little boy.
Oh, yeah, a long time. Yeah. Horace, is, he's a character. That's all I'll say. And didn't really slow him. Yeah, it did slow him down a little bit when he lost that leg.
Not his mind.
Oh no! No, his mind, no. His mind,
no.
He can tell you what day 40 years ago something happened.
No, I guarantee you can. Yeah.
Of course, would you argue with him?
No, not all right.
No,
not
no said.
No. you take notes is what you do.
Yeah. You know, we have Macy Ledbetter on the show pretty regularly.
Right.
And he took your place when you retired or started.
Well, I left. Yeah.
When
oh,
you
really?
Left Texas Parks Wildlife.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. And Macy worked for Texas Parks and Wildlife, and now he started. In fact, we had him on just a couple of weeks ago. He's doing a lot of tax work now, you know, helping people with their land get into.
Yeah, getting on wildlife evaluation as opposed to ag evaluation.
Consolidating parcels of land and stuff. He's really, really got that down to a science.
He does.
Yeah.
He's good.
He's one of the good guys.
Man, but, you know, it's just, that's what I love to do with this show. I like to bring people on like you, and we tell stories, and then we bring Ryan on, and we try to help handgunners.
You know what you're doing.
Not wanting to talk about the hunting supply. What's the journal that you're doing?
Oh, Handgun Hunters International, yeah.
Handgun Hunters International. And that is much like the archery news.
So the Six Gunner is the publication for that organization. And it's just like a membership organization for like-minded people that just love handgun hunting.
You're trying to make people understand. See, when I was a kid, my dad taught me that a pistol or a handgun was made for one thing, and that's shooting people. And we never had a pistol or a handgun in our house, ever.
That's not an uncommon story to hear, but even back then there were people doing it. I mean, Elmer Keith started in the early 20th century traveling all over the place, and Dan Wesson, when the 357 came out, he killed almost everything on the continent with a 357. He took it bear hunting and said later he was glad he didn't see one, but like your story earlier. But it's not a new thing. It's kind of one of those, Larry can back me up on this, it's kind of one of those industry things that just ebbs and flows. Like it gets hot and then it dies down, and it gets hot and it dies down. And I think right now we're in a waxing, you know, it's getting bigger because of the challenge aspect and people looking to do new things. And also, you know, we added so many new gun owners to our roles that they're finding that this gun that they use to protect themselves at home can also be used in the field.
Now, there's one fella that we'll have to introduce you to, and it's Larry's cousin. Have you told him about your cousin? The one that lives down...
Oh, Herman Brune. Yeah. Yeah, Herman is where they do a lot of the shootist stuff down at Columbus. They've been doing that old whole family home place for years, kind of thing. Yeah. Herman also does radio shows and a whole lot of other stuff kind of thing. But he's a character in his own right, I'll tell you. But the handgun thing is interesting in so many different ways. I mean, I did a lot of handgunning starting a long, long time ago. And I was very fortunate to come along during the time when Larry Kelly was around and when J.D. Jones were around and Bob Millick, and I cut in tail end when Skeeter Skelton was around and all these guys who were absolute heroes. There was a guy name was Al George years ago that did a lot of handgun. Hal Swiggett. All those guys I got to know over a period of time and got to hunt with some of them a little bit over the years as well, too. But the handgun thing, we looked at doing some things in Namibia. Namibia was looking at opening up for handgunning in Africa, which they haven't done, but they keep telling us they're going to. And during the process of that, which is now about 7-8 years ago, we were trying to accumulate numbers of people who hunted with handguns in the U.S. And according to a U.S. census that had been done maybe now 15 years ago, there were 1.2 million people in the U.S. that hunted with a handgun. And so you start thinking about that. That's a considerable number. And now with the introduction of the COVID thing and people buying handguns for maybe more for protective rights, but all of a sudden they realize that same handgun, particularly in terms of revolver, they can also utilize on small game and particularly on large game as well, too. So it's introducing a lot more people into handgunning. And so when you contacted me and said, you're looking at doing this, you know, I'm going, oh my God, thankfully it's time. The timing is perfect. And I was able to get you in touch with guys, like you mentioned, Mark Hampton, who's been a friend for many, many years, and a bunch of other guys. And, I just can't see anything but this thing getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And, of course, we do have handgun seasons in some of the Midwestern states.
Right, and there's a lot of restrictions on straight-walled cartridges. Straight-walled cartridges, good for handguns.
Absolutely. Yes, I applaud you for what you're doing. I am so thankful that you're doing it, let me tell you.
Young guy carrying on the torch.
Amen.
That's the way it has to happen. It's absolutely. The only way it's going to happen. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I'm very, very enthusiastic and passionate about it. I love being in the field and getting my own food this way, and I love introducing people. In fact, I have a standing rule that if you come to me and you want to give it a try, if you have a place, I'll bring my handguns out. You can see what you like, and then we can go hunting, and you can use one of my handguns to hunt, because I think everybody that I've taken hunting, even if they don't begin to do it exclusively, they're like, this is fun. Yeah, exactly right. A new aspect.
Well, you know, I had somebody tell me, we were talking about this, and just this new way people are looking at guns is you know, gun violence, and it's not gun violence, it's violence. You know, the gun isn't violent. It's a, it's an inanimate object. And the way that people are perceiving it and what we need to do to change that, and I think it's to let people realize that it's a sport. And there are so many other things that are a game. They're not a sport. Mm-hmm. Even target shooting is an interesting sport to use these great tools that we have out here.
Yeah, and what better use for any tool than getting your own food?
Exactly.
Hey, family, we knocked out the first hour. We've had some fun already. Hey, Scott Sanderson next, CCA Austin, and then we're just going to keep it going next three segments. So I think we're fixing to lose, Larry. Are you fixing to run off?
I think I'm going to have to get out here. Thank y'all so much for letting me join y'all this day.
We'll get you a good breakfast.
I'm going to.
Hey, family, we'll be right back with more of the Sunday Sportsman. Thank you, Callahan. Y'all be good.
Yeah, man, the guitar's Cadillacs, hillbilly music, it's the only thing that keeps me hanging on.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
August 24th, write it down. That's right. Got the party going to happen. August 24th, Homer Event Center. We got Scott Sanderson going to tell us a lot more about it with CCA Austin. August 24th, Homer Event Center. It's all going to be there. All our rowdy friends will be there. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Hey, Ken, I'm doing well. And you know what? You know what's fun about that is tomorrow, it's only a month away, and it'll be the first banquet in over 2 years.
Wow. Oh, damn, it is. It's only a month away now.
August is here. That's amazing.
It is.
He had to remind me of that.
I'm sitting there, oh, yeah. August. Oh, then we got dove season. Yeah. Then we got archery season. Then we got regular rifles. It's that time of year.
Yeah. You know, the dog it's days fun. Aren't so doggy, are they?
No.
It's not as bad.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's coming in. Boy, a lot of people are working really hard. It's going to be a good one. Yeah, like this call. There's a lot rolling over from last year in terms of raffling and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be bigger and better than ever. Not to mention, you know, that Jeep that you can go to ccaaustin.org and see that we're raffling off a TJ completely tricked out, rebuilt on a car hauler. The 24 Mod V shallow sport with the 300 on it. There's some awesome prizes we're giving away this year, Ken.
No, I mean, I can't wait to see. I can't wait to get there. And, you know, the prizes, the raffle items, all the, well, the hunts. You can go to Argentina and go on a dove hunt. You can go to Africa and go hunt, you know, different kinds of animals. You can go different fishing trips down at the coast in different places. You can go on a sailboat trip to.
There's a bunch.
There's all kinds
good,
of stuff.
Pretty good deals, too. Some of them come out pretty good.
They are pretty good. And what's good is there's four or five get to voting or are bidding, and then somebody say, okay, well, let's just make six of those. Y'all got it all.
Yeah. Everybody gets one. Yeah.
So it's a fun time to be had, and it is the who's who of Austin to be there. I'll tell you that right up front.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that about the auction. It really is fun to see that room and the way it lights up with all that stuff going on, because they are exciting trips to, like you said, go to New Zealand or Africa or South America or wherever, Mexico, and, seeing the – yeah, you know, just the energy in the room and guys bidding, and those spotters are like, yeah, you know. Anyway, it's a pretty good time for sure.
It is a good time, and it's some great items. I mean, the raffle items and different things, but the Jeep, the boat, and the Yeti game, everything that y'all do, y'all make it where it's something that you want to go to. Not, you know, well, I got to go there. Oh, hell no, it's not I gotta go. It's I wanna go.
Yeah.
It's not a gotta, it's I wanna.
There's something for every wallet.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I think, Ken, there's so many of our sponsors that say, of all the different fundraisers in town, this is the one that hands down they won't miss.
Yeah.
Period. Well, every year. You know, and if they can make the other ones work, fit them into their schedule, budget, whatever, but they want to be a part of the CCA because it's just a fun, casual event. They get to see a lot of their friends and customers. You know, it's 1,800, 2,000 people.
Yeah.
Just a big night and a good time.
You know, for instance, Hammer, I've known him for a long time. And it's Robert Giesen, by the way, if y'all want to know what his real name is. But he works with
Lone Star Paving.
Lone Star Paving.
Yeah, that's him.
And Hammer's always there, and he knows everybody because he's been in the construction business, the paving business forever. And he says, Ken, that is the one party we never miss.
Yeah.
And I know he's helped y'all a lot with Lone Star Paving, has helped y'all with different things, helping y'all pay for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they sponsored the table gifts a couple years in a row. Last year, I think it was the Yeti Cup that we put on the table. But, yeah, John Ramey, who heads that,
yep.
He's the head of the Serpent there, the owner, he's a great supporter of CCA and a great friend of CCA. So, yeah, they do a lot for us, no doubt about it.
And, you know, what a whole lot of it's the reason they do that is because they know that CCA, the money that CCA Texas makes, CCA Austin, CCA San Gabriel, CCA San Antonio, the monies that these companies or these chapters make go right down and stay in Texas along our Texas coast. So our kids have a place to go fishing. And that's what makes it so wonderful.
So true, and never been needed more. You know, with COVID, there was a lot of pressure on the resource, which was awesome. That's what it's there for, and that's what we do our work for, is to have, you know, it healthy and sustainable, and so more people can enjoy it. But then you combine that with the freeze that we had in February, and it needs our help, right? You can't just plunder it without doing that.
You know what y'all haven't mentioned? The food.
Oh, no, I've been thinking about the food.
Oh, man, the food.
I know.
I'm thinking about, that's all I can get out of my brain.
It's the barbecue or Jack Allen's. You know, you go in there and you get the little smoked quail eggs, or you go and to Smoky Denmark and you get the barbecue there, or you go down and get the little pork sliders, or you go down here to where they make the cakes and all of that stuff and you get dessert. Oh, by the way, they also have Tiff's Treats there where they have the best hot cookies you'll ever eat.
Well, everybody pulls out their best stuff, and it's all in one place in one night.
And then
it's a big deal.
Moonshine's has, you know, they always bring their corn dog shrimp, and if you ain't had a corn dog shrimp, go to Moonshine's and get them, damn it, and tell them we sent you. But
yeah, and those guys, those restaurants are such a big part of our success. They donate their time and money, and you know, Chico, as you say,
they want to put their best foot forward in front of 2,000 people, and they just do an awesome job in it. And it saves our organization a ton of money. I mean, if we had to cater that food per person, it costs, you know, $100 a person or something.
Well, I mean, barring everything else, it's a showcase on its own, just the food.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Eric was just saying, with that corn dog shrimp, blueberry mustard.
Yeah.
A blueberry mustard, really? Is that good, Eric? It's that good? Eric says, hell yeah, it's that good. Now,
Ken keeps sending me back to go get more plates. Yeah. Go get me more. Go get me some more.
Yeah, my wife thinks it's that good.
It's that good? That'll work. But, you know, they got some barbecue that's there. It's just, and then the sausages and all. Oh, damn it, I'm already hungry.
There's nothing bad.
You didn't bring enough Mary's tacos.
I brought, what, 10 of them?
They're I know, gone. And they're all gone.
They're gone.
But, you know, it's August 24th.
It's and we'll have just a huge raffle, silent auction, live auction, you know, giving away the boat, a UTV, a Jeep. You know, there's just so much going on in that room, and there is something for everyone. The Yeti game, it's just fun. It's just, it's a sight to behold, really, when you walk in the room. It's pretty awesome. And, you know, and a shout-out to all the volunteers on the board that put that thing together. It just, it's always amazed me through the years that a bunch of volunteers that are not in the food and beverage or catering business can put on an event of that size and that quality, and it goes that well. And that's just, you know, a tribute to the, you know, dedicated board members.
Tell them how to find it. Scott, tell them how to find y'all.
Everything is at ccaaustin.org.
ccaaustin.org. Scott, my brother. ccaaustin.org.
That's it.
Scott, my brother, I appreciate it.
Okay, take care, Ken.
We got to run. Hey, we'll see y'all on the other side, family. Thank you, Callahans. We're just going to BS some more next 3 segments. Bye.
This other fool decide that we'll drink up what's left. Chug a look, so help thyself. First time for everything, my ears still ring. Chug a look, chug a look. Make you want to holler, holler, ho. Burns your tummy, don't you know? Chug a look, 4-H and a FFA. On a field trip to the farm, me and a friend sneak off behind this big old barn where we uncovered a covered up moonshine still. And we thought we'd drink our fill, and I swallowed it with a smile.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300 The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylove.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hi, what's the good word there?
Hey, baby, que paso? Thought I was your only vato. Hey, baby, que paso? Please don't leave me this mozo. Come on, baby, turn around. Let me see your pretty blue eyes. Don't you know that I love you? Please don't leave me this anymore. Hey, baby, que paso? Thought I was your only vato. Hey, baby, que paso? Won't you give me un beso?
We've been discussing this song. Yeah. Now, you say Augie Myers and the Texas Tornadoes.
Yeah, that's right. Augie wrote the song.
Eric?
Yes?
Freddie Fender is also in there.
Yeah, he's in the Texas Tornadoes with Doug Somm and Flaco Jimenez.
And Freddie's the one in the background yelling, "Hey, olele, vatos!" And he's the one that's doing this little yell in the background there.
Okay.
So, yeah, the tornadoes, man. Come on.
Texas tornadoes.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Take me back. Make me cry. that's good stuff right there. And I miss Ryan
knew who it was.
Oh, that's right. This guy's in the Navy. He's another musician.
It was actually like, when I was in cool. high this school. Is... He came to, they started the big band Bash in Fredericksburg with a high school band. And he came, Johnny Nicholas. And later, a few years after I graduated, Jimmy Vaughn came. Pretty good time.
Jimmy's a fan here. He's one of our listeners.
Oh, yeah.
So we have him in and out. But, yeah, years ago, I mean, Doug was just like that. Doug and Nagy were good to us in our early days as another, you know, little band. And they were good about their opening bands that worked with them and did stuff. So, yeah, this is good memories. Good. I always love hearing the tornadoes. I can listen
good
to
good music. Yeah. That's one thing. Eric plays some good music. Now, some of the stuff, I sit there, okay, I know the song. Eric, who sang it? He'll have to tell me. And I'm sitting there, okay. And yeah, it's stuff that you've heard from when you was itty bitty.
Yeah.
I mean, little.
Well, Hey Baby, Que Paso is like the San Antonio national anthem.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I am not even kidding. That's the San Antonio national. People will stand up with their hat over their heart.
Okay. I'll go for that.
No, yeah. I mean, it's that it's that popular around there.
And then now, Ryan is from Fredericksburg. And you know why everybody goes to Fredericksburg?
German food?
Hell no. They go there for the shopping.
Not anymore. Now it's the wine.
The wine and the beer. They also have a lot of...
The only place in the country that has more wineries than my area is Napa Valley.
Wow.
Really?
Didn't know that.
Well, you know, you go towards Stonewall from Fredericksburg. It's just my son married a gal from Stonewall.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, wine. He says, every quarter mile, half mile, there's something there. It's, you know,
at least.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, Fredericksburg is becoming a big, big tourist city, man.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we always had Main Street. We always had Main Street, but... Yeah. This wine thing, it was just exploded. I mean, I'm thankful. Yeah. Bring your money.
Yeah, you know, if you want to see a pretty drive, go from Fredericksburg, Old 16.
Yes.
Front of Enchanted Rock.
I agree.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, 965. Yeah.
Who was the guy that had the balanced rock out there that blew it off of its balance?
Yeah,
I don't remember who. It was one of those.
Years ago, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was years ago. Yeah. And he got tired of people beating his fences down.
He
blew the rock off.
It over, yeah.
And I'm sitting there, wow, okay. I got to see it before it happened.
It's his rock, okay?
It was his land. And people were tearing his fences up. I don't blame him. I mean, if the state wanted it open, they should have made it apart. Yeah. But or bought it off of him.
But Fredericksburg's doing it right. You know, I think they got a lot of young, you know, a draw for the millennials and a draw for the, you know, our generation. We've got, and there's so much to do, plenty of places to stay now. I see people from motorcycle groups to car clubs and going. We love to go two or three times a year, but when they first light the Christmas lights, and I think that's like about a week earlier than everywhere else in Texas.
Yep.
And they have a great party on that Friday, and we go for that.
It's usually the Friday after Thanksgiving.
That's right. Yeah. It's still in November when they do it.
Yeah.
And we get out there, and it's, you know, nice and warm still, and you can go walk around downtown. There's not that many people, and it's one of our favorite times.
There's a tunnel just out. It's a state park, by the way.
The Bat Caves, we call it.
The Bat Cave. Yep, that's what it is.
You know, that was a railroad that went through Gillespie County, but the steel from that railroad was pulled up to supply World War II production.
Really?
So that hasn't been a railroad since then, but not only is the Bat Cave right there, but Alamo Springs Cafe is out there.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if you remember, about 12 years ago, they were on the cover of Texas Monthly with third best burger in the state. It's a pretty fine place.
There was an old restaurant in Fredericksburg. They turned it in. Now it's maybe an antique shop. It's out towards.
That does not narrow it down.
Yeah, that's good.
No, I'm talking years ago.
Yeah. Okay, right.
And You're 40 years old. Yeah, you might. It was around when.
But I remember, we moved there in 96, so we've only been there.
Okay.
For
okay. No, yeah, we went there. It was there, but yeah.
But yeah, you know, my area is just, it's home to me. What was that song that we were listening to a while back? Skunk in the Road?
Yeah, Dead Skunk.
Dead Skunk in the Road. Yeah. You know, I was telling Chico that I did my time in the Navy and I lived in different places, but a Skunk in the Road, like, I always think that song
made you home.
Skunk in the Road smells like home. Yeah, because, yeah, you know, it really does. And anybody who knows that a skunk on the road is a different from a skunk that's sprayed.
Yeah,
you know, totally different smell. I still spend a lot of time running around that county. It's just my favorite place to be.
Do you know? You know, we've been talking about coyotes and such as that. Yeah. And you know, we had Gary Robertson in here yesterday, and Larry, and then one of the best trap baits for coyotes is you take one of those skunks that's been ran over.
Mm-hmm.
Skin and all, fur, everything.
Mm-hmm.
You put it in a gallon jug, screw the lid on it tight.
How do you fit that in a gallon jug?
I was going to say, this. You're going to make a mess.
A big mouth.
Okay.
Or a gallon can.
A pickle jar.
Yeah. I got you. Okay.
And you put that in there.
Yeah.
And you put it somewhere, or best to dig a hole and put it in the hole and let it rot down.
Oh, yeah.
That skunk scent. And the rotted meat scent, the hair will keep it together.
Yeah.
And then you use that in your trap bait. They ain't a coyote can walk by it.
I know you're an old trapper, but I don't want to kill a coyote that bad.
It depends.
I'd rather use one of Gary's calls. I'll try that. Yeah. And then if that doesn't work, I'll start fermenting a skunk.
Yeah.
I'm not at that point just yet.
You need to go.
You have the most esoteric recipes for this. You know what you need to do pour 1 liter of, you know, white tequila in this bottle with an armadillo in its shell, because its shell's going to keep it together.
Yeah.
And there ain't no hog in the world. They love berries.
No. Hog, you take.
Oh, here it is.
You take.
Or Kool-Aid.
Well, strawberry Kool-Aid. But you take sweet potatoes and you dice them up, put them in a 5-gallon bucket, and then you take licorice oil, anise oil, and you pour that in there. Then you fill it full of water and let it sit and let it ferment and soak up. And then a hog around can. Mm-hmm. And you know where I got that recipe?
Chris. Yeah, they cannot resist it.
A lot of people use Kool-Aid too.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, they use Kool-Aid. Yeah.
Well, I think there's something to the anise, the licorice smell.
Yeah.
It's that licorice smell. They love it.
They can't resist it. They've got to go to it.
You know what else loves that licorice smell?
Women.
Bees.
What did you?
Oh yeah,
honeybees love it.
What is man's favorite smell? Vanilla. Women's favorite smell.
Vanilla, yeah.
Licorice.
Isn't it interesting? My mom loves black licorice.
You know, people love it or hate it.
Oh yeah, it's like cilantro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I love licorice. My wife can't stand me when I'm eating licorice.
Huh.
I mean, no. But I stay out of the house.
But if she wears vanilla, you will follow her everywhere.
Oh, vanilla! They put it in houses that they're selling.
Yeah,
they'll put a little candle with a little vanilla in it to smell like sugar cookies. We gotta get out of here, family. I'm already getting hungry. Hey, we'll be back in just a minute. Thank you, Callahan. We're just BSing now. See y'all in a little bit.
Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper?
a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300 The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylove.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hi, what's the good word there?
One fool on a stool is what I heard the bartender say. Snakes on the ceiling, walking walls I can see. One fool on a stool, and on this stool sat this fool me. One fool on a stool, one drink to a hand. No thread for your needle, no mouth. I ain't seen your man.
I was fixing to push my button. I said, oh, Eric's already turned my button on. I don't have to turn it on. Eric did it for me. He says, yeah, let's see if we can catch Ken do something stupid.
Yeah,
just open your mouth, Ken. Hey, family, we've got Ryan.
Hoover.
Hoover. I was sitting there. I think that's right. But I know too many Ryans is my trouble now.
I know.
And I'm tired. I've been up. Well.
It's been a long morning.
Been a long morning.
Long couple of days.
And driving, and yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But anyway, Ryan.
Yes.
I know that you're wanting to get handgun hunting and started. Well, it started. I mean, what did you said over a million or.
So, yeah, Larry Weishun was telling us about how they conducted a survey or they
15 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. That census data said it was 1.2 million handgun hunters. Now, that doesn't mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that's all they hunt with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, you know, important to me. But I assume that that means like people who have hunted with a handgun before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I always say, I enjoy the challenge of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, it's kind of like bow hunting, except I'm really not that into bows. I like the equipment better, the handgun hunting equipment better. But it also, it allows for various stages of difficulty, you know. So you can hunt with a scope
mm-hmm.
from a rest at, in a blind, like we do traditionally here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great way to get started. My preferred way to hunt now is stalking through the woods with a revolver mm-hmm. on my hip. You know, I really love, one of the good things about that is that if you're in the woods, and like I remember the first year I did this, we were learning woodsmanship, like, really learning how to get close to deer and whatever we were hunting. And so if you make it to within 40, 50 yards of a deer, but you don't fill your tag, you still come out of the woods with that hepped up feeling, you know,
yeah.
Your adrenaline's still going because you were successful in being a good hunter and getting that close to the deer. And to top that off with just how fun handguns mm-hmm. are to use and shoot. And then another thing for me is that I have found great personal satisfaction in being able to become competent at this. You know, it's like any sport you do. You know, Chico was talking about how this is a sport. It's like any sport you do. If you can see your own personal progression from novice to expert, and I'm not at the expert level by any means, but if you can see, like, I couldn't do this before, and now through my own diligence, I'm able to do this, it boosts your confidence in other areas of your life, you know? It makes you just more secure, period. And that, to me, you know, I know this is I don't mean to sound hyperbolic, but it's made me a better person, me personally. And I know that a lot of people that I've, you know, in starting the Handgun Hunters International, again, a lot of people that have joined the membership and that I've had conversations with, and at the competitions I was at last month, a lot of people feel the same way. You know, we just want to be different, we want to do things our own way, and we want to challenge ourselves.
But it's a different sport. I like the way you put that, stalking through the woods with it on your hip. And that's really how hunting kind of was, you know.
For sure.
And I think that's true. It's similar to the camera stalk.
Exactly.
You know what
exactly
I mean? You
right.
get a lot of satisfaction going, wow, that was good. I got that turkey. Uh-huh. Look at that. I mean, he didn't even know I was here.
Right.
That's really cool when you can do it.
And, you know, I always say this, too, because as with any community, there can be some tribalism, you know, of like this method versus that method and this gun.
Iron sights versus scope. Or same thing in rifles.
The big one in handguns is cast bullets versus jacketed bullets, you know. But what I say is that if you're using a legal, safe method, you're welcome under my tent because we all are after the same thing. And that is challenging ourselves in the field. You know, I tell people, my business card has a saying on it that I always say, challenge yourself to a way of hunting that's better for the body, spirit, and diet so you can become the self-reliant person that you were always meant to be. And I truly mean that when I say, because I've had, no joke, and I'm a spiritual guy. I've had spiritual experiences in the woods, you know, like seeing God's country in ways that people who don't hunt never see it. Oh. Sunrises, little things. Little pretty beautiful things that you never, tender moments in the woods that people don't know if you don't hunt.
It's really true. And, so true. What wisdom is coming from this young man here?
You have to value.
That is awesome.
Well, you know, one of the things that I used to, well, still enjoy, sitting in the blind and watching a hawk fly. And they fly over the brush, and especially down South Texas or West Texas. And watch their feathers, their wing feathers, each one of them move and to keep them to flying right over the top of that brush.
Lizards and eating bugs. Little wrens.
It's a blast.
And we have to say, like, there's a difference between seeing an animal, right? Like, how many of us have seen a squirrel, like everybody listening, and watching
animal?
If you're in a blind, right, and a squirrel
comes
by.
You're watching a squirrel. That squirrel out there.
It is pretty darn interesting.
Nothing else to do.
My buddy and I were stalking through the woods, and we decided to set up at a place for a while. And not 25 yards from us, there's this porcupine just going about his business, climbing up this cedar tree, you know, snuffing around, eating stuff. And we sat there and watched him for 30 minutes. And, you know, how many people have seen a porcupine alive, let alone going about his business? And that's the kind of thing, you know, if you don't get in the woods, you don't see it.
We were talking about that yesterday too, is because I had earlier experiences of it as a young boy, of the reverence of the hunt and being in the woods, and it was very quiet and very serene, to going to a handgun hunt with dogs, but it was drinking beer and loud dogs. And to me, it wasn't what I wanted, you know what I mean? It wasn't that experience.
Oh, I was going to tell you a story about that.
I'd love to hear it. I really would.
There was a guy that fished with me on a regular basis. And this was years ago. And we got to talking about bear hunting. He says, "Ken, I don't like bear hunting." I says, "Why?" "Well, we went bear hunting. I shot a big black bear." And he said, "We got a little drunk." He's drunk already. But I think he stayed drunk. But anyway, he says, "I looked out there after we skinned that bear," and he says, "I started crying." I says, "Why were you crying?" He says, "Ken, it looked just like my brother sitting there, hanging there."
I've heard that.
What?
No.
Well, I should clarify. It's up to each individual to like see what their comfort level is. Now, I'm not.
Well, it was.
I'm not saying it's a great idea to go drinking and hunting at the same time.
No,
I do not. Think
right.
It's not.
It's not at all. It never is.
But there are different like, for instance, the Handgun Hunters International is having our first hunt as a group next spring. We're going to, and if you're a member, you're welcome to join us. We're going to South Texas to hunt pigs because it's cheap. You know, people.
My ranch.
Yeah.
You going to Callahan?
No. I don't know the name of the ranch. Okay. I forgot. It's a good friend of mine. And there's going to be blind hunting, like sitting a traditional Texas sitting in a blind, hogs come to a feeder and you can shoot them. Or if you want to spot and stalk, right? Because there's some people who feel that this way is a little less fair or whatever. I mean, those of us who've hunted out here and seen starving deer, we know. There's a certain percentage of deer that need to be shot that way to feed us and to keep them from starving because they don't have a lot of natural predators or successful natural predators, I should say. And so it's up to each individual to decide for themselves what's the best way for them to hunt. And I don't, you know, those dog guys, they run and they work their butts off a lot.
Oh yeah.
Depending on where they're hunting, of course. And so all I'm saying is that if you want to go on a bear hunt with a handgun, it can be everything you
built it up to be. And I could see that. I could see that. But there was a level of this.
Oh, sure. I've been there too. Uncomfortable. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of went, I was looking for something a little different on it. And it was, I mean, honestly, you go over there by Raton and there's like way more bears than people. They're everywhere. They're not hard to find. You're going to find bears. You know that. So it's, it's just a level of the sport. Look at how sporting something is.
Well, we're going to let Station make a little money here. And then we're going to keep talking on the other side.
This is a great conversation.
I know it is. We're having a lot of fun. Yeah. Hey, family, stick around. We got one more segment. That's all we got? One more segment?
What?
Goodness gracious. Hey, we got to get out of here. Thank you, Callahan. See y'all in a little bit.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300 The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylov.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hi, what's the good word there?
Hey, bartender, pop the top on another can. Give me 10 dimes. All this dollar in my hand. Turn the knob on the jukebox way up loud. I might drive out the whole damn crowd, but I'm drinking my baby off of my mind. Hey Joe, you're looking at me like I was half crazy. But ain't you never loved and lost a real special lady. She was a sweet loving mama. She treated me right. I stepped out on her one too many times. Now I'm drinking my baby off of my mind.
I had to ask Eric who it was. I knew the song. I knew exactly who it was. But Eric, Eddie Rabbit. Oh, okay.
Yes. Pretty classical country.
It's good country. That's all it is. Eric knows that country.
Yeah, he does.
One of these days, we'll get into that maybe.
That's what I grew up listening to going hunting and fishing. All these songs.
I mean, this is what my daddy is.
Deer
is
Camp Radio. Deer Camp Radio.
Yeah. Hey, a new podcast.
Deer Camp
Deer
Radio.
Camp Radio.
Camp Radio. Oh, Eric. Eric's.
Yeah, you got to get it.
That's right.
That's cheap. That's true.
It's
only money.
He's always killing the dog, man. I don't know.
Trust me, I'd love to do something like that. But
Oh, it would be fun. There used to be a guy up in San Angelo that on Facebook, he put old country music. Mm-hmm. I don't see him anymore. I imagine they shut him down.
Well,
a lot of that stuff's got to be public domain by this point, right? Did you guys hear that Mickey Mouse is supposed to be public domain in 2024?
Yeah, but they're going to renew that.
They're going to try it. That'd be so cool, though.
Mickey Mouse is public domain.
No, don't worry. Don't worry.
They ain't going to lose that one.
Disney's okay. on top of that one, I'm pretty sure.
No, ABC or yeah, I know.
And, you know, Disney. Nothing really goes away. It gets assumed by UMG these days, Universal Music yeah. Group. Because if they don't, I mean, I've had them claim stuff that's ours and just claim it. And then say, well, somebody has to come back. And basically, Darren,
you got to prove that.
You have to lawyer up and prove it. And that's why I'm not on Apple anymore. We could talk about some of that. But,
hey, but are you going bow hunting this year?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm not a bow hunter.
I thought, oh, that's right. You know, it stinks that they get October, though.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I get it, right? Because I'm okay with not having big rifles and stuff out there.
Yeah.
But give us like open sight handgun / bow hunting.
Let's see what we wanted to do. Yeah. When I used to be a muzzle loader.
I know, yeah.
And that's where we wanted October also for muzzle season.
And some places do have that around the country.
But not in Texas.
No.
No, because the archery hunters, we don't want to get there. We love you, archery hunters.
Oh, I
we,
love archery hunters. Oh, I know. Yeah, absolutely. I know. We're kindred spirits. We just use different tools.
But, and they didn't want people out there with rifles.
Good. I understand it. But
yeah, I do too.
Yeah, and I get that reason too, but I like the handgun along with it because it's simple.
You know, when I was listening to Ryan talk about stalking a animal, and I'm sitting there, okay, now I can carry that handgun on my hip. Are in my hand. I have a bipod on it. I have a scope on it. I can be slipping along a Sendero right in the brush. And then when I get ready to take the shot, lay down, roll out, pop the bipod. Well, of course, you have that ready, all ready to go. Roll out, take, get aimed, boom! That quick.
Yeah.
That's one of the great things about handgun hunting. You know, even with those bigger. Like you're getting that Thompson Center Contender with a 14-inch barrel. Mm-hmm. So it's a larger handgun, but there are ways of carrying it that are quicker access than a rifle. You know, with a rifle, you're not going to hit your muzzle on a branch if you're carrying a handgun.
Right.
And like what I was talking about with revolvers, I like this cross draw style carry in the front. Everybody's got a different way of doing it, or like a chest rig, something like that. You can crawl, and then when you're ready, you can just slip it out, and you're ready to go.
14-inch contender, that's a shoulder rig, huh? Or what do you put that in?
Oh, no, it's a
hip rig?
That's a chest
okay,
carry.
Okay, chest, I got you.
And they do make hip rigs, but they're a little, when you have a scope on it, it's a little unwieldy.
Yeah, we saw that one that was an XP-100, it had a hip rig on it.
Yeah, that's big. I wouldn't want to go crawling through it.
No, I wouldn't want to.
And you can always put, like, my first season handgun hunting, I built, because we've been talking about this, but my background is I'm a gun builder, so I build my own guns. I built myself a bolt-action 458 SOCOM pistol, which if you don't know, 458 SOCOM is an AR round, a 45 caliber. It's a pretty big round. And the gun with the scope on it weighed 7.5 pounds. So it's a rifle weight gun, you know, I had a big bull barrel on it, whatnot, and I carried it on a sling all season with shooting sticks. And that first year, I shot a pig, a whitetail, an axis, and an elk with that same 458 SOCOM. It can be done. It definitely can be done. And the only animal I shot out of a blind was a pig. Every other animal was spot and stalk.
You know, that's one thing Chico was talking about yesterday. How much land or how many people are putting in for draw hunts with Texas Parks and Wildlife.
Yeah.
When we had, and I got to get him on again for long, and I can't remember his name, the guy that we had on with Texas Parks and Wildlife was talking draw hunts.
Oh,
over a million acres.
Yeah, that's so Texas people just assume, you know, but if you go look at the Texas Parks and Wildlife public lands available, there's a lot now. A lot of it, what stinks for us is a lot of it in our area is not big game, you know it's like bird hunting or bow hunting and that kind of stuff. But you go out west or up in the panhandle, there's definitely some opportunities. And if there's someplace, so they abide by the general rules, so if you can shoot a rifle, you can bring a handgun. And there's some great opportunities like mule deer out west. I don't know if there's any on public land, but we have pretty good section of
There's, no, I know there 67 for... categories open, and I did see Mill Deer.
Well, do they have Audad? Because I know we have a sizable Audad.
Oh, yeah, Audad out west.
Yeah, and even up north, Pronghorn. They have some Pronghorn areas.
If you can get a Pronghorn with a handgun...
You're damn good.
Oh, no, Pronghorn, you'll be a legend.
I can show you plenty of pictures of people that have done this.
You can take a white rag and stick it up in the grass and wave it, and those pronghorn come to it.
Depending on what time of year it is, yeah, sure.
I'm going to see. I got to see it to believe that. I got cameras.
My dad, that's the only reason I know, because daddy used to do it that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm fixing to be out of time. Yeah. Tell them how to find everything.
Yeah, sure. So Handgun Hunters International is the membership organization that I'm restarting. You can find that at handgunhuntersinternational.com. I'd encourage you to join. It's only $5 a month, and we're a great community. And if you're interested in handgun hunting and getting a handgun or having a custom handgun built, go to my website, handgunhuntersupply.com. And feel free to reach out to me with any questions. Even if you don't want to spend money with me, I still love to talk to you.
You have my debit card.
Yeah, you're paid up.
I know.
Brother.
Put me down for Handgun Hunters.
Okay. I sure will. Yeah. I'll give you a membership. Yeah.
There you go. Now,
put Chico. A membership for me on his car.
Fine, I don't care.
Ken/Chico.
I'm just kidding.
Chico, yes. Tell them where you find you.
Friends, you can find me on the original Keep Austin Fishing on Facebook. Find me on FrixTex on YouTube. Mike Garcia on YouTube. Ken Milam's The Great Outdoors on YouTube, as well as I think we're going to do some more Facebook stuff coming up on that. And look for us on Untamed Heritage coming up pretty soon.
Untamed Heritage, Texas.
Texas edition. And as always, I've been working with our good friend
and Bob. And Ryan's going to be on there. Right. Well, yeah, it's going to be fun. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Ryan wants to, you know, we're going to talk more handgun hunting. We're going to talk fishing. We're going to talk food. We're going to talk about how to take an animal with a handgun, how to build that handgun, how to get. And Ryan's sitting here, okay.
Cool stuff. Maybe even some Milam family Texas history.
Oh, that's easy. That's easy. But, you know, it's going to be fun. This is what we're going to do. And that's going to be Untamed Heritage Texas. So, yeah, y'all stay tuned. We'll be telling you more about it. And
I'm excited.
I am too. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. And family, thank y'all for tuning in. How many minutes we got left? Eric says, what?
Is Eric there?
Oh,
that's it.
There she goes.
I was right on time. I was right on schedule. How that? Hey, family, we got to get out of here. Thank y'all so very much. We really appreciate it. Chico, Ryan, thank y'all. And I know if Gary and Larry, y'all listening, thank y'all so very much for coming in yesterday. And Larry, you this morning. Family, we'll see y'all next week. Same bat channel, same bat place. And we got to thank Callahan's General Store. Get by there and see them tomorrow. Thank y'all, family. Y'all be good. And thank you, Callahan.
God bless Texas.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.